Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Text 10. Yata Dharumai Nari Yata Patramayo Mirga Devam Utani Magavan Es Tantra Esa Tatrani Vidi Bogaha Yata Dharmai Nari Yata Patmayo Mirgaha Evram Bhutani Magavan Eshatani Vidi Bogaha Yata Darumai Nari Yata Patramayo Nirgaha Evram Bhutani Magavan Esa Tanrani Vidi Bogaha Dharmai Nari Tatratmayo Nirgaha Devam Bhutani Magavan Jason Tantrini Vidura Yata, just as, Darumai, made of wood, Nari, a woman, Yata, just as, Patramaya, made of leaves, Nirgaha, an animal, Eva, thus, Bhutani, all things, Magavan, O King Indra, Asa, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tanrani, depending upon. Vidhi, please know. Boga, O Sir. Translation pervert by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves, cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it. All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5.142. Ekaleshvara Krishna Arasabha Kritya Arevachi Nachya Saitachitara Nitya. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. We are all servants of Krishna. We have no independence. We are dancing according to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But out of ignorance and illusion, we think we are independent of the Supreme Will. Therefore, it is said, Eshvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anandaya Govinda Sarvakara Karanam. O Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is a supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes, from Samhita 5.1. This calls to mind right away Prabhupada arriving in Boston and understanding that he's got a big task ahead of himself, and he's asking the same thing. I'm just a puppet in your hands. Please pull the strings, make me dance, make me dance. Give me this name, Bhaktivedanta. So according to that, let's live the prophecy. And so again in America and in Washington, D.C. sometime later, they're having the Independence Day, 4th of July celebration. And Prabhupada comments about this, that the whole of America is celebrating independence, but what independence is there when you're dependent on the Supreme Lord in every move, blinking our eyelashes, everything that happens according to our in the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, has nothing to do with the soul. Everything is attached to this material body. So whatever it is that happens accordingly in our daily life, ultimately the strings are being pulled, and ultimately we're just puppets on the strings of the Supreme Lord. And so knowing this, that actually become good puppets. So it means, you know, when we get to go this way or get to go that way, understand that the direction is being given and displayed according to how we do it depends according to our will. That means the desire to be that puppet is actually the perfection, the importance of the whole daily life that we have. And so keeping this in mind as we go through life and we experience these movements that we go this way, that way, it's actually the super soul is directing our wanderings. And that way every atom is being guided. It's scientifically proven now that the whole body goes through these changes, and the liver changes, and all the organs go through certain changes. And so the body changes, but the soul remains the same. And so we look upon these bodies as the beautiful instruments of perfection that we have. Nothing better to look at but our mirror. I have a daughter, and I bought her a full-length mirror, and it was the best gift she ever got, because she spent her whole life looking in front of that mirror, dancing. She became an expert dancer. Of course, now she's grown up, and that dancing doesn't go as much. But I think for a young kid, the best gift is a mirror. Like Hanuman wanted a moon, so he got the mirror, and the reflection is there. So whatever you want in life, it's just basically a turnabout. That with Vitrasura and Indra, the whole story you've heard many times. But to see the twist that actually, you know, the demon becomes the good guy. And this doesn't happen in films, but the good guy generally is the guy that gets the girl and makes success in life and whatever success is in material life. But in this case, Vitrasura goes back home. Indra stays, hides in the lotus for 1,000 years and laments the fact he killed a Brahmin. And so all of this stuff happens, and the Bhagavatam explains that ultimately we're dictated by these moves. There is no independence. And Prabhupada talked about that, about the 4th of July celebration. That everybody goes, and it was at that time they took them to see the fireworks. And Washington, D.C. and New York, they have a big display of fireworks on the 4th. This is a wonderful big moment, like the independence move here in India. In any case, Prabhupada talks about it. Where's the independence? We have no independence to even move a finger, and we speak about great independence, and only America's experiencing this 4th of July celebration. The animals aren't doing it, and the people outside of America aren't celebrating. But what is this illusion that we have just attached to these bodies? And the extension of these bodies are our possessions. And so there's a very famous film, Laurel and Hardy, where they they, one guy opens a door and smashes into his car. And so they smashed the guy back, the door back and forth. It happened. Finally, they tore both cars completely apart. Then they start smashing each other. And so we're so attached to the bodies, that the extension of these bodies, of these cars. And so, like Prabhupada said, the dog runs on four legs, we run on four wheels. And so then there's another one I just saw. One lady sitting in her car, and the next car pulls in and opens the door and bangs into her car real hard. So she looks at that lady and opens the door and bangs her car. And so they start banging each other's car. So pretty soon they start pulling out and going after each other, ripping the fenders, kicking the car, and just making a whole big mess of the two vehicles. So finally, this woman backs the car up, goes like, and she's going to leave the scene, but she comes up a, you know, 100 miles an hour and hits, boom, right in the back of this lady's car. And so she does the same thing. She backs up and goes around and the same thing, and that back and forth until there's no cars left. So the moral of the story is, don't be attached to your car or to your body. So ultimately it leads into Gunachi's day of today, Gunachi Manjan. And so there's some famous stories, and I'm going to go back and forth because they connect each other. So one story is that Harishchandra pushed Srivas Pandit when they're dancing. And so Harishchandra was trying to get him out of the way of King Pritharudra. And so Srivas didn't understand what it was and pushed him back. And so finally Srivas slapped him across the face. And so the whole fight started between these two great personalities. Now what happens here, you know, this is like, you know, this is Chaitanya Leela. You don't expect that. And so King Pritharudra said, listen, you should be very happy that you got the touch, you know, from Srivas Pandit. Now, you don't respond in any way violent, because ultimately that was a benediction. And so being slapped in the face, the same thing happened, I'll tell that later. And so here's a story that ultimately in the material world, we're getting slapped all the time, but ultimately the slapping is putting us on course. So then we go left or we go right too far, ultimately get pushed back into. And so these difficulties that come up are not stumbling blocks, but stepping stones. And that's how we progress in material life to get to spiritual life. So ultimately, when these difficulties come, we're not overly depressed or overly jubilant when success comes. Ultimately, the benediction for this life is not to be any way attached to anything in the material world. That means everything. There's no space. And the cleaning at the Gunditji temple reflects this, that ultimately a grain of sand represents material attachments of family possession, and the dust and accumulates in our heart ultimately has to be cleansed to make a sitting place for the Supreme Lord to take possession. And so if the sitting place isn't clean, then ultimately there's some problem. And so Lord Chaitanya went into great measures to get this Gunditji temple cleaned really thoroughly so that ultimately the sitting place could happen. And so in the other part, the dust is more like what we have in our own personal attachments in life, the body and possession of the cars and economic development. And so all these things are just superfluous. Economic development, sense gratification, all these things, and so many devotees that are making this big mistake of going after the whole thing of economic development is just a diversion of Maya that takes us away from spiritual life. We keep thinking we're going to be able to make a lot of money and use that money in Krishna service. It never happens. You're allotted a certain amount of money. And I used to tell my father, before I knew anything about Krishna consciousness, why are you working so hard? There's a certain amount of work you have to do, and that's your duty to perform. But you're working three jobs, you know, why? What's the point? And so he says, one day you'll learn. Well, I never learned. I never worked three jobs in my whole life. I hardly worked any. But the point is that the dependence on material things is just an illusion. And so the harder you work, ultimately the bigger the fall, because the higher you raise, the bigger the drop. And so those that go way up, you expose more of yourself, and the more you get exposed, the more you get shot at. In other words, the bigger the money, the bigger the man, and the bigger the possessions, ultimately the bigger you get shot at. So Prabhupada talked to, you know, of course, the examples that he gave was Gandhi. And he cited America as Kennedy. He said, these are karma. These are like destiny, things that are going to happen. You can't stop it. And so the same thing goes in our lifestyle. That no matter how hard we work or what we do, ultimately it's pre-described at the time of birth. Now, if I only had a chance to tell my father that. You know, he worked so hard and he died just with the strain of on his brow with wrinkles that he worked so hard to put, you know, food on the table and maintain a family. So we are maintained. And ultimately, Krishna takes care of everything. And to prove it is that I left Vrindavan, and Dina Bhandu knows that I had acquired so many possessions, and you get this happens every Grihastha. He's immune to that because he didn't get too attached. And so, but the attachments happen in Grihastha life. They just build up. They build up over your head. When the Prajuna was honored to do the Bhagavatam, I saw him in Radhadamodar, and he was sitting in a pile of books. He had 12 big trunks of books, big trunks like this table. Piled up Sanskrit books, and it was piled up so high you couldn't see him. I looked inside. Prajuna, you in there? Yes, I'm here. And so ultimately all that material, books are another basic disturbance because we were attached to the books, obviously. The Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. But all these other books start coming in. And so I left a whole big library there, and I come here with a couple of dhotis, I said before, and now again it starts. So detachment is the answer to all the ills and the evils of material life. The more we are detached, the better the sitting place. And so if we clean our heart, the sitting place opens up. That brings up to the next story. That I got a few notes here. I hope I can go through it. It's mentioned by Prabhupada that Jagannath's moving to the Gundichi temple, and I don't, maybe somebody has an answer to this, was his aunt's house. And we try to understand who the aunt is. It could be Kunti, because that has nothing to do with the, anyway, it's not a big thing. Okay, then they were washing the floors and the ceiling in the Gundichi temple, and ultimately we wash in our heart. And it happened in Vrindavan a couple of times where they washed the floors and the walls and they ruined all the paintings. And I don't know if you remember that. But the water was, you know, they're spraying the paintings and they're spraying all the walls and the curtains and everything. You got to be careful how you wash and how you clean. And so cleaning is a you know, evolved science. Do it right. But for 12 years that was going on. Then there are a couple of slokas that I want to read. I have gotten the Lord of my life for whom I was burning on the fire of lusty desires. Lord Chaitanya is talking like that, and he's repeating this thing over and over again. And what are these lusty desires he's talking about? And Bhagavatam explains it, that ultimately he's talking about his attachment to the Supreme Lord. He's in the mood of Radharani in this whole episode. And so he's Radharani's, you know, framework of how he can better understand his Krishna, and Krishna's trying to understand what Radharani's all about, so Lord Chaitanya happened. And so, another sloka. I am the same Radharani. We are meeting together, but I want to go back to Vrindavan under the trees on the banks of the Jamuna. And here you play the fifth note. And so Radharani's, explaining that in Kukshetra. And so Kukshetra is understanding that from Dwarka he comes to Kukshetra, but it's the same thing. Jagannath temple is like Dwarka, and he's going to Gundichi. And the whole episode of going there, Lord Chaitanya is dancing like a firebrand and spinning as we read in CC. But he goes behind the cart, and the reason for it, as explained by Prabhupada, is that he's pushing the cart and the cart stops. As soon as he stops dancing, he goes behind the cart and dances. It means he's referring to the gopis. He said, don't forget us. Now we're here also. Don't forget us. I mean, you're going to Gundichi temple, but it represents Kukshetra, but ultimately we want you in Vrindavan. I mean, what is this Gundichi temple anyway? And so the whole road going there is an episode of this thing happening back and forth. Borchardt runs in the front, and Jagannath follows. He goes behind, Jagannath stops. The whole way going to the Gunaji temple, this takes place. And he's dancing and chanting and losing it, and there are three circles. You got Nityananda guarding one circle, and you got, who are they? Well, there are three circles, and the outer circle is Prithviraja and his people are guarding Lord Chaitanya, and he's dancing, he's losing it. And so we see that sometimes here. People are dancing, they just lose it. And then the whole story about if you fall on the floor and you start rolling on the floor like Lord Chaitanya would do, ultimately if you see that happen, and it happened in Vrindavan, and the Harisari was the famous example of what not to do. And so Prabhupada says, well, if you see somebody on the floor, they ask Prabhupada, what to do about this? The people still do it. They're rolling on the floor. I haven't seen it here yet, but in Vrindavan, we see a lot of that. I haven't seen, amongst the devotees rolling on the floor. Dinabandha never did that. So this happens in Prabhupada. Well, kick them in the head. If they're really entranced, then they won't be affected by it. So he did that. He kicked them in the head. And so that guy was kicked out, thrown out of the temple bodily by Harisari. And I don't know if he tells the story anymore, but I think it's so funny that Prabhupada was so furious when he found out about it that actually said, you go out and you find that guy, you bring him back and you apologize in front of me. So he went all over Vrindavan, Mathura, couldn't find the guy. He comes back and probably can't find him. And there he is, the guy sitting right there. Now you apologize. Okay. And so, we got to be careful who we kick in the head. Ultimately, that's not a good deal. Then there's this thing about the sloka. That one I just read is the idea that Rupa Goswami understood the nature, what he was referring to, and Srib Damodar understood also. But he wrote that note and put it up in the head, the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya found it and understood what it was. And he slaps him three times. So how do you know what it was in my heart? So again, the slapping took place. That's the one I wanted to wait for. And so if somebody slaps you in the face and you're dancing and you're in ecstasy, all of a sudden slaps you across the face. Just think of it that way. That's ultimate. I'm being pushed and kicked by the people wanting that ghee lamp. And it happens, I see it every day, the Bengali pushing and pulling and just to get that ghee lamp. It's really important. Okay, so we just get by and just let it happen. And ultimately, the distresses and the successes in life are like that. Just let it slide by. That's what Tai Chi is all about. They just let the energy go by you and use that energy to help push it by. So but we don't get attached to anything like that, ultimately. There's another funny story about the fisherman's story. I got to repeat this a little bit. It's just so funny that the fisherman pulls out the body of Lord Chaitanya, and he's in the water. He's dreaming of all these. He's thinking of all these pastimes that were taking place in Vrindavan, in the Jamuna, and with Radharani grabbing a hold of his neck, Radharani grabbing a hold of Krishna's neck and taking Radharani out into deep water so she couldn't swim. I think Radharani must know how to swim. But in any case, she grabs Krishna's neck, and that episode took place. And this is all in the dreaming state of Lord Chaitanya in the water in the Puri Ocean. And so the fisherman finds this thing in his net, and he didn't know what it was. His body, all white, just bleached out, and the arms are out of the sockets, and it's just like a big mass of flesh. So he touched it to see what it was, and all of a sudden he's got, boom. He got, amazing, reaction. He got Bob right away. So he figures it's a ghost. He says, I can't do any more with this. I got to get out of here. And so he left the body in the boat and got out of the boat and ran as fast as he could. Who he meets is he meets Srib Damodar, and they're all looking for Lord Chaitanya. Where is he? Where is he? And so finally he says, I'm a ghost. I got a ghost on me. And then Srib says, well, I'm a ghost exorcist. And so tell me what happened. Well, I in my boat, there's this ghost. And so I said, well, I'm an exorcist and I can fix you up right away. And he slaps him three times. Again, the slapping took place. And so, and then he says, now I understand, you should understand that ultimately it's not a ghost, it's Lord Chaitanya, and explains the whole philosophy. And so And they got to Lord Chaitanya, and they see him in this pile of flesh. Now the body's all distorted. And so they started chanting in his ear, and finally he gets into, he's still in internal consciousness. He comes a little bit out of it, and he wonders where he is, and ultimately, basically, he starts jumping and dancing back to Lord Chaitanya's mood. So, there's the funny story about, I got to mention this too, about being cool-headed. Prabhupada was asked, why do you shave your heads? And you know the story, it's very funny. So this girl was asking, and so Prabhupada looked at her and says, well, why do you shave your legs? She said, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, better have a cool head than cool legs, don't you think? And so cool-headedness means that you're chanting, and you're, by the chanting process, ultimately become able to do devotional service. And so by the chanting, we get relieved of all the material distress. Everything happens by the chanting process. And so this is exemplified in everything that we do. That ultimately, I remember before being a devotee, my wife was, she was catatonic. You know what that means? She can't talk. So she was a little disturbed in her head. So I thought, well, anyway, she's a good person. So I think we'll get married anyway. They won't let that be an obstacle. And so, but she talked to me. But then as soon as we got married, oh boy, man, did it start after that. Why, she never stopped talking. But now it cooled out. But so after a while, chanting the holy name, we became devotees and it mellowed out. And so it naturally, every woman, according to this famous book, Venus and Mars, the woman must talk. Now, I've seen it in Vrindavan. You're walking on Parikrama, there's 10 ladies abreast, and they're all 10 talking, all at the same time. Nobody's listening, everybody's talking, and so they're chanting and talking and chanting and talking, but mostly talking. And so the man, of course, got to have his little space, he's got to have his little cave to get into. So ultimately, you need that space. And I mentioned this before as a joke. So you got to give space between your wife and yourself. And I'm in Vrindavan, not anymore, now Mayapur, and she's in Los Angeles. But that space is important. Of course, the bigger the better, the more space, the more peacefulness they're going to be there. I got to go, let me go into this one now. Okay, the material possessions increases anxiety, pride, agitation, attachment, and attachment to the material world. Possessions of my car. Give up religion, economic development, sense gratification. The wonderful story Prabhupada tells about the fighting that goes on. And Prabhupada loved a good fight. And so Mr. Nair in the whole Bombay scene, after Prabhupada won the battle, Nair died by a heart attack. Prabhupada praised, Lord Nrisimhadev ki jai. And so that was the end of that battle. But Prabhupada said, well, that was a good battle. I asked him all Krishnamara, I said, what was the most difficult moment you had with Prabhupada? He was the most angry. He cited that time. He says, when I gave up the fight in Bombay, Prabhupada was so furious that this upper lip got quivering and little beads of sweat. He was so angry. He would not give up that battle. And so the fight went on. So we are still fighting. And famous fighting stories. First, the German story about the ladies in Germany were praying for their brothers, sons and daughters, or sons and husbands to come back from the fight. Everybody's heard this story, probably. And the other side, the Allies are praying the same way. The women are praying both sides, and Krishna's confused. Prabhupada said like that, so Krishna's confused. What do I do? They all want their family back, but the ultimate fight is a fight, and they die. And so the First and Second World War were not pious wars. Prabhupada mentioned that. He says, these are not pious wars. Krishna didn't want it to happen. The Kukshetra War, that was a different story, because they fought a religious war. Everybody went back home, back to Godhead. But in the world of First World and Second World War fights, I don't know where they went. They went straight to hell. In Vietnam and all the wars that happened, economic development is based on wars. And so America is the primeval warmonger. And so they fight wars to keep the balance of the economy up. So in any case, avoid battles. And so one battle in book distribution, there are a couple of famous stories. They're really funny. And one is the guy who's evading the police. He's running as hard as he can to get away from this police mall. They have security systems in mall. Like here we got, last I heard was 300 security guards are here in this Mayapur. 300. And so there's no problem for security. So anyway, the boy is running with his beat bag, and he's running down the hallway. And there's only one door left, and he's dead. All I got, that door is locked, I'm finished. So he opens the door, it's open, he goes inside, he turns around, all of a sudden he's on stage with, you know, but 10,000 people in front of him. And so the guy, the MC, turns to him and says, "Well, did you bring the prizes?" "Yeah, I brought the prizes." Here he took all his books and he started giving all the books to the guy. And so he started handing out, all these famous people came up on stage. The best of their business came and got the free books. And so he turned around, looked on the sign. You know what the sign said? Anybody know? Yeah, Butcher's Convention. So these are all butchers, and they're all assembled. There are just 5,000 to 10,000 butchers sitting there, you know, big fangs. If you see these guys who are butchers, they got big, huge canine teeth. And so they're like one step away from being an animal. And so my sister married in a family of butchers. And so unfortunately, you know, these are the lowest of mankind. But it was a success story. And then Brent Vihari told a story. They're in Gainesville, or in Florida. And so they were in a motel room, and they had their van parked outside. And so the van was right in prominent space in the parking lot. And all of a sudden, 15 police cars come up and surround the van with sirens, with lights on, and just pointing all the lights at their room. And so, it's okay, come out with your hands on your head. And so, Brent Vihari and a whole group of these book distributors came out with their hands on their head. And so, it's just, they didn't know what they were expecting to be shot down. Who could believe anything can happen in America? And so, he says, "Who owns this van?" They go, "We do." "No, we do." He says, "Well, this van happens to be a stolen van." He showed his credentials, the ownership papers. "Okay, we're sorry. But who are you guys?" "Well, we're Hare Krishna," because they were just in their chadors, and just they weren't dressed properly and gumptious. And so he says, "You're Hare Krishna people?" He says, "Oh." He called all his men over. He says, "I want you all to know, I got my education by taking their food, they call it prasadam. It's wonderful. I got through college that way because of these guys. I want all of you to buy a book." And so all these 15 cars full of cops, they all had their books. And so another success story. It's all based on fighting. There's a couple of things recently. If we're shallow in our devotional service, if we're looking at life in a sort of peaceful and detached way, that's not enough. You know, for a devotee to be effective, you got to go deeper. And so an example of that, a tree just blew over a couple days ago, and the roots are very shallow. And that's the kind of tree it is. It has a very shallow root pattern. And it's actually, roots are the communication device underneath the ground. There's an underground communication system between trees. They talk with their roots. That's why these trees are together. And so you see the trees, they're lined up over by the samadhi, and they all grow about the same rate. And so anyway, that tree blew over because the roots weren't deep enough. So we have to go deeper in our chanting, deeper in our reading, deeper in our everything that we do. 64 rounds is nothing. I mean, I've been experiencing it this whole month of Purusottam. Ultimately, it's a fear. There's a fear element about chanting so many rounds. But if you start earlier in the morning and you're awake enough, you can do 16 before Mangal Arati easily. Then the second set, you know, just after and then through the course of the day, it's very easy to do 64. And so the chanting is the process by which we can make such advancement spiritually. And so if we do that, ultimately the roots go deeper, so deep that ultimately you can't be blown away by Maya. And another astounding thing I just saw was a guy in a temple with two arms missing. He had his arms cut off just after the joint for some reason. But he's got a bead bag. And I said, how this guy can chant with no arms? And so we have to be very fortunate. We got our full facility. We got arms, we got legs, we got one head. There's a woman who's got two heads. That actually has happened in history. But one girl, it's on the Facebook, she's got two heads. And they fight each other sometimes. But they love each other and they kiss each other. Ultimately, two heads are in communication. They got one body. And there's many men after her. Because they got to get married, they married two girls. And so, very strange. I just give a little memorial to Karmarupa, who passed away recently in Vrindavan. And there's a smile on this. There's a Brahmanand also, if you noticed. They were both had a very sweet smile. If you remember Gauri, when she passed away, that was a very wonderful example of how to pass successfully. All of them. All the devotees who leave their bodies, Radhapati, Radhakundas. I mean, there are so many examples of devotees now leaving their body. And so we're the vanishing, it's a, you know, what do you call it, the endangered species. And so little by little, we'll all be gone. There's nobody in this room who's not going to have to face death. So think about that. If we don't think about it, we're in an illusion. We should think about it and make provision for our departure. Because that means cleaning up the act, cleaning up and getting rid of stuff. And so I've been doing that myself, just cleaning house and just getting rid of it, simplify it. And the famous kiss, keep it simple, stupid. If we can do that, ultimately, the simpler, the better, and the more progressive march that we have towards Krishna consciousness. I've had access to very wealthy, very famous Americans. And one of my students was a multi-billionaire. His name was Taylor. Taylor Wine Company in upstate New York. And so he was totally crazy, completely whacked out. I mean, and I met Salvador Dali, another crazy guy. So in other words, you get fame and fortune and material opulence, it doesn't mean that you're successful. And the famous Hindujas, now when you're with them, the brothers are fine together. They communicate nicely, they're very friendly, and you talk to the brothers and they're all in communication. Similar, all one mind. But in the next room, we went in, I saw the ladies. Now, these are the wives of these four brothers. They're fighting and screaming at each other, ready to kill each other. And so if you want to know what a man's all about, you talk to the wife. And so that's, or you just see the reaction. The woman is happy, the man has been okay, I guess. But just the money is not the answer. And for us to go whacked out, to go into the material world and just to scrape it up, we got a lot of good brothers who are doing that. They're working so hard, and they're putting so much energy into making money, and ultimately, what does it really matter? You can lose it in a flash. And at the time of birth, if I only knew this when I was young, but at the time of birth, everything is going to come to you automatically. It doesn't mean you got to work so hard to get it. Now, when I found that out, this is the answer I've been waiting for. And Prabhupada mentions like that, it'll come. If you're going to get $1 million, okay, what are you going to do with $1 million if somebody gives it to you? You can donate it over to TOVP. That would be a wonderful donation. But otherwise, if you use it in Sanskrit, buy a bigger car. I had an uncle who used to buy a brand new Cadillac every year. He traded in the old one, hardly ever used it, but he had to have a brand new Cadillac every year. You know, those things are big, huge, gas-guzzling monsters. And so the answer in material life is not anything material. And so the more we understand, the better our position is in spiritual life. Because the further we go in detachment, ultimately the bigger dependence on Krishna, ultimately the more effective our Krishna consciousness is. How do we know really if are we barking up the wrong tree, the analogy, or are we actually doing the right kind of service in the right mood and everything is copacetic? So, ultimately success, I mean, if a door closes in front of your face and another one opens up, that's obviously you're being directed to move a different way. And so we're not always moving in the right direction. I kept thinking of Prabhupada, when I heard it, Prabhupada wanted major cities built, first Mayapur, and Vrindavan, Dwarka, Kukshetra, and Puri. There were five places he mentioned he wanted major cities built. So I started thinking like that, you know, like, wow, Lord, this is a wonderful opportunity. And so I started thinking about major cities development and how to develop a whole spiritual city. And so, and then I kept dividing, you know, spent a lot of time in engineering and working out drawings for that. So then all of a sudden this took place. You know, TLVP started to manifest. And the Samadhi Vrindavan and the Mayapur Samadhis were also big obstacles in terms of creating something, building a house big enough that it could house Srila Prabhupada. But he built a house big enough for the world to live in. And so these Samadhis were like that, to build Samadhi. I mean, I was involved in both. And at one point, I don't know if you meant it, but I was in charge of both. So I had to go do a little sightseeing, like with Sarab. We go to one site, look a little bit, be a sightseer, and come back and go to the other site. And so back and forth, and ultimately more people got involved. And so the Vrindavan Samadhi became like a very pristine, like it made out of sugar candy, done very sweetly. Mayapur became, you know, a little bit different because it was bigger. And I brought an architect here years ago and said, why is this big dome, like the Vatican Dome, sitting in the middle of a rice paddy field? And so it was glorifying our spiritual master. And ultimately, it's just a small building for what's going to happen next, and now we see it. And so working now with this new project, I see a lot of potential here that we're going to be needing the help of a lot of artists. And so anybody out there who's thinking about wanting to know about art or help with the building, ultimately they should get involved. Because the work that is standing ahead of us is like, you know, it's way beyond that you can even imagine. Right now we're working on the area around Lord Narsingadev. And so that means all the panels of Prahladma. First we'll be glorifying Prahlad Maharaj by panels. And the panels are 15 feet long, 5 feet high. And they go around, all around the whole inner interior around Lord Narsingadev. And so then there's the Lord Narsingadev pastimes. Then there are all the dioramas. Then there's like, you know, three levels of dioramas, and that's just like, you know, an amazing amount of work. Gopal Kumar's adventures are going back home, back to Godhead, Priya Bhagavatamrita. And so what's spelling out here is one of the biggest projects on the planet for spiritual life and for a rendering of artistic expression. So if you have any artists out there, please join us. That's about all I got to say. Any questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Dear devotees, tonight and then from 19th till 21st there will be a Vrajalila seminar here by